make it, do it. Makes sense. Honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Nathan Zagura alongside my man, the notorious VIC, for the next 2 hours for another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. We have a lot of guests for you today on the program. We have a lot of great sound for you today from the press conferences of both the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, Brian Hoyer, and the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, from yesterday following the OTA. We will talk about that. We will also hear from Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram at 1:30. We will hear from Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network at 2:30. And the Browns long snapper, Christian Yount, will be with us at about 1:45, recapping the Browns Memorial Day charity event from yesterday as the Browns continue to do great work in the community here in Cleveland. The players are off today after back-to-back OTAs. They will have a third OTA tomorrow, but we're going to start with our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day, Notorious. And let's start with this, your impressions of yesterday's OTA.
Well, the headline we know was that John Football was practicing with the third stringers. That got some people a little riled up, and the social media response to this has been interesting. So has the national media response, honestly, watching First Take, watching the debate between Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless on this topic of Johnny Manziel. He spent a good, 10 or so minutes, maybe more, on the topic of basically the Browns mistreating this guy. Stephen A. going as far, and I know he somewhat had his tongue planted in his cheek, saying that the commissioner should somehow punish the Browns for hazing Johnny Manziel, the Browns organization, the hierarchy, for the way they're, quote, treating or disrespecting the guy. And it's silliness. It's part of the silliness that, unfortunately, is going to come, and we're just scratching the surface with it. But the overreaction to everything Johnny, even when it, to me, seems pretty logical, rational, sensible to have him in a position where, as a rookie, he starts there. I don't think it's an effort to intentionally humble the guy. It was based on, or is based on, what this coaching staff and what Ray Farmer and others who know football see in this guy, what they know of what he's limited to doing right now. And the mistakes that he's making are pretty much a function of the kinds of mistakes, A, you would expect a guy like that to make as a rookie, what he doesn't know, what he doesn't really see, as well as Brian Hoyer, who does see and know a lot more. And where Stephen A. took umbrage especially was on Ray Farmer's comment, which I think he made on The Fan. He made a comment to the extent that he was substantially or significantly ahead of John Football. Why would that be a shock?
It's not a shock, and in my mind, this is what's going on. First of all, Johnny Manziel, yes, he worked with the third string, but if you watch the entire practice, you saw that that quickly changed by the third 11-on-11. It went from Hoyer straight to Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel got the most reps of any of the quarterbacks as well over the course of those three. So they're getting him work. He improved his standing. I wouldn't be surprised if, as we get to Friday, he's working number two behind Brian Hoyer, or working number one when Hoyer sits out 11-on-11s, as the team wants to kind of keep his knee safe and not put him in any kind of harm's way. I'll say this, Johnny Manziel is getting better every single day. I've seen it, and it's about, when you're talking about Ray Farmer saying that Brian Hoyer is light years ahead of Johnny Manziel, it is mental. He's had 4 months head start with Kyle Shanahan. He's had the opportunity to digest the playbook. He's been in the league. The game is already, the game speed is not different to him in any way than it was last year. For Brian Hoyer, he is mentally ahead of Johnny Manziel, and he should be. He should be. He should have that command right now. When the real battle is going to start is when Johnny Manziel's mental acumen and football IQ for the Kyle Shanahan offense is it the same level of Brian Hoyer's? And then you're going to have the physical gifts take over, or at least get close to it, because Brian Hoyer, that's probably the biggest strength in his game, is his mental aptitude, his ability to process information quickly and get the ball up. Johnny Football is going to be Johnny Football. They're going to let him be Johnny Football. I'm not worried about this at all. It's much ado about nothing right now. What I like is that he's getting better every single day that he's out there. You're seeing him start to process things quicker. Does he have some hiccups along the way? Sure. But he is looking better to me. I thought he had his best day of practice of all of them yesterday.
Yes.
After going back and watching the tape, he gets better as the day goes on. That's a trend for him, too. His third session has consistently been his best session. I like that. And I'll say this about Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer wowed me yesterday. And I'm not easily wowed, but Brian Hoyer made a throw to Vernon on a deep post that traveled 56 yards in the air and did it effortlessly and showed what I thought was a stronger arm, Vic, than I'd even seen from him last year, which is interesting. Maybe when you're rehabbing your knee, you're working your upper body more, but he seemed, that ball was a ball that I didn't expect to be in Brian Hoyer's arsenal, and it was gorgeous.
Yeah, not only was it thrown the length, the distance, but I thought it was just his delivery on it as
well.
Yeah, it was effortless. He didn't have to wind up to make that throw travel the way it did. And I think his technique, his throwing technique, you talk about maybe other areas of his body where he's gotten stronger, and I'm sure that has something to do with it. But I also think it's about the throwing technique, the mechanics of his game that I think he's addressed as well. And this is, again, a guy who, for the years that he has been out there, we keep forgetting, I think people assume that that makes him the salty veteran. Hardly at all. There's very few grains of salt in a guy who has had very limited time, four games of a career. Yes, he's been in the league. Now this is entering year number six, but he's entering it very much as an unaccomplished player. And I think here's the other thing. Yes, he's benefited greatly. He's got that already, that graduate school level education of quarterback play, especially those 3 years he spent behind Tom Brady, learned so much from the Patriots' way of doing things, and has brought that here. I think now it's a function of he's a little distracted. He's got this brace on, and he's dealing with that, and that's a little bit of an issue for him. Hopefully that will be able to come off, and his knee will be fully ready for him to do everything he needs to do. They are being extra cautious about that. But I saw the same thing you did. Brian Hoyer definitely is throwing the ball well. His accuracy is supreme. Mike Pettine loves the accuracy of Brian Hoyer, and if anything decides this quarterback battle early on, say out of the gate, it'll be that right there, because this will be a team that's going to play defense first, that's going to run the ball, play a power-oriented offense, and if you're doing that, you need one thing from your quarterback, minimal to no mistakes. And that's the thing right now that Mike Pettine and this coaching staff believes and should believe, that it has a higher chance of getting with Brian Hoyer at quarterback versus Johnny Manziel. That's the way it should be. Johnny Manziel right now would probably be prone to making a lot of mistakes. That's going to happen. I saw the improvement you saw in the course of that practice, gradual, for sure. He does a lot of rollout, a lot of boot plays. They play right into the strength of his athleticism and movement. Almost everything he does, most of what he does, happens on the move. But he does some pocket movement. I like his ball handling. I think he's the best ball handler of the quarterbacks. He sells the fake very well. And by the way, you can sell the fake a lot better when you're running, when you got the threat of a running game, which
the Browns now do.
So he does that well. I like that little duck and move that he has after the fake. And then he stands tall. And there were times, and you saw the same thing I saw when we were watching the tape of this, the breakdowns of pressure that's coming at him in the front of the pocket, right, when they're breaking the pocket. And instead of bailing out, you know what I really liked? He kind of hung in there, gradually drifted a little to one side or the other, but stayed in the middle of the pocket and made the throw. Very impressive.
He stood tall, and that was good to see. And there were, in his sessions out there, some severe pass protection breakdowns where he would have been absolutely murdered, which was good that it was just practice. But, yeah, I like the way he hung in the pocket. I think that as his footwork gets better, and I think one thing that I've been really impressed with, Vic, and you tell me, is I forget when I'm watching him already under center that he hasn't played under center. I think he's made that footwork transition and that timing transition very well so far.
Yeah, definitely. I'm agreeing with you. There's no question that, and it's happening quickly too, by the way.
Yeah.
And what does that speak to? Smart guy. I mean, you got to be smart enough to do this stuff. And he's that. He is definitely all that. and then willing to put the time in and the work in. And he's been serious about that as well. There's been no question in my mind the level of dedication, and others are seeing it. And, you know, it's one thing that, okay, we're not accompanying this guy 24 hours a day. We're not seeing him in those moments where he's at a hotel room studying a playbook or in the meeting room doing his thing. But we certainly talk with enough people around this building. And believe me, if the opposite were true, we'd be hearing that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We would be, yes. Because you can't hide. As they say, the eye in the sky,
right,
and don't lie. But good. I thought it was a good day from both Hoyer and from Manziel. And, again, not to knock Tyler Thigpen, but I don't think it'll be long before he is
Johnny
behind Johnny Football.
Johnny's already ahead of him.
Yeah,
I mean,
it could
that's
be as
obvious.
We could see it as early as Friday.
He's
Hoyer,
ahead.
I thought, again, showed some great arm strength. You can tell his anticipation is better than that of Johnny's at this point. He did have a couple. He threw one interception, which was a questionable throw into double coverage. I thought Buster Screen, by the way, was playing great in the slot yesterday at corner. I thought he had some very nice coverage, a lot of good mirroring out there. Hoyer, once he knocks that rust off, though, I thought very impressive from him, impressive from Johnny Football, and a positive day for the quarterbacks for the Browns, which I think is going to be important, a very important position, as we know, arguably the most critical in the NFL. Vic, anybody else who jumped out at you in yesterday's session that you'd like to give a Carucci gold star to?
Joel Bitonio.
Yes.
Gets
explosive.
Two gold stars. And what I love about this guy, there's lots of things to really love about this player. He is going to be special. I think this is going to prove to be not a good pick, but an excellent pick for the Browns on the second round. I know it got a lot of, didn't they need a receiver right there? And more than a few people said that. But I'm going to say this. What I see now is a guy who, number one, has that quickness, that first step move that is exceptional that you don't see from rookies very often. That's the first thing I look at with linemen is how does the footwork go? His footwork is already exceptional. And this is only in a few days of practice. And in this offense, in this type of scheme where linemen have to move laterally, have to get to the point, get on their blocks quicker than another type of blocking scheme, this zone approach that the Browns have with Kyle Shanahan, he is exceptional at that, number one. Number two, you can also see that he's versatile. That, yes, you know, they've been working him at guard, but you can see, Nathan, I don't know if you agree, the physical nature, the size, the makeup, this guy could be kicked out to tackle in a pinch or maybe at some point permanently. I think he's got as much tackle in him as he does guard.
I think he's going to be a versatile and quality starter for this team for a long time on the offensive line, depending on where they need to get him on the line. Right now, guard looks like where he's going to be. He's so explosive off the ball. I love that about him. I think that he really excels at getting to the point of attack and winning quickly and getting downfield to the next level after getting off his first block. I think that Joel Bitonio has looked excellent. I would agree with you. Some other people that I'd like to highlight, Andrew Hawkins, very fast, gets open, great routes, excellent hands, made a couple wow catches, including one diving catch on the sideline. I thought Terrence West looks like the best running back as a ball carrier right now. Now, Ben Tate didn't get a lot of room to roam, but I thought that at times Terrence West has a natural running instinct about him that is good. He needs some work in pass protection and identifying blitz and blitz pickup still at this point. Not to be unexpected, though, for a rookie. Willie Snead, the undrafted free agent from Ball State, doesn't seem fast, doesn't seem like he's moving explosively, yet he finds a way to get open and was a popular target for both Hoyer and Manziel yesterday, so I'll give him a little nod. On the defensive side of the ball, I talked about Buster Screen. Tayshawn Gibson, I think, continues to impress me as a ball hawk in the defense. His interception from Brian Hoyer, I thought, was one of the better catches and more acrobatic and athletic catches you'll see. And the defensive line and linebackers, I thought, in some pass situations and certainly in some run situations, looked very dominant. And I'll single out my man Billy Wynn as having a great practice yesterday.
Yeah, Billy Wynn looks
he's thriving
active.
Right now.
He is thriving. He looks active, as that's been kind of consistent with him, but he seems to have even amped that up to another level. He certainly looks strong at the point of attack. He looks like he is more aware of what he's doing. And I think the other thing that's happening to Billy is just experience is taking hold now. He's confident out there. He knows what he's doing. I want to back it up to the running backs, though, for a minute, because that position definitely is already, in my mind, a strength. When you
Absolutely.
See the right, when you see the way Terrence West explodes, the way he not only can you could see the I think the difficulty, these are non-contact workouts, but you could see the difficulty one would have in trying to bring him down because he gets a head of steam. There's a lot of power. He's chugging those Pistons legs. You know, he's got thickness all the way through, and then especially in the upper body. And the way he kind of runs at a nice lean, he's got that lean down because he's a bigger kind of guy. And sometimes it's harder for those running backs to establish a little bit of, you know, drive and get the lean that's necessary. They sometimes run a little too upright. He doesn't, in my mind. No. And then when he gets hit, you see him trying to roll for more. He doesn't, that first contact doesn't do a thing to him. He's spinning off the first hit, spinning off the second hit, and rolling along and just trying to squeeze out every possible yard he can. So I'm impressed with him. I've been impressed too. Ben Tate looks definitely like it's effortless for him.
Yeah.
He seems very comfortable in this offense. I've paid some attention to him, but more attention to West because I think you kind of know what Ben Tate is, and it's good, by the way. But
I think
it's more encouraging to see a kid like Terrence West in there and the impact he can make.
And no question about it. He is a bowling ball and looks like he will be a great complement to Tate. And Tate didn't have much room to run sometimes, but when he got out there in the open field, you could see great vision. He's got speed and he has power as well. He's going to be a load to bring down. Yes, it's a whole different world when you're watching the running backs this year compared to last year for the Browns. And I want to make one last point about these quarterbacks. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. We can talk about what do you think about Johnny being quote-unquote third string right out of the gate. Brian Hoyer, what you've been reading about the OTA yesterday that was attended by the media, what you saw, your impressions. I think Brian Hoyer is the leader of this team, but I think the way that Johnny Manziel has conducted himself on the field, and probably more importantly, behind the scenes and off the field, something General Manager Ray Farmer alluded to yesterday, you know, being in there, being in his playbook, asking questions, doing the right things, that he has the respect of the veterans, I think, already. And I think you can see it on the field when you're out there. I saw him taking
Without
more
question.
Command at the line of scrimmage yep. yesterday, moving pieces around. And Billy Wynn, a friend of the show, one of my favorite guys to have here on CBD, tweeted out a picture of him and Johnny Manziel from yesterday's practice. And basically, the note that came with it was actually retweeted by the National Football League, believe it or not, but said, basically, got a picture with this fine gentleman. Thanks, Johnny. And it's a picture of Billy Wynn and Johnny Manziel coming off of the practice field yesterday with big smiles on their faces. And that's a little thing that I think says a lot about how Johnny is being regarded by the veterans.
It's acceptance. And
right.
That's huge. I'm telling you, it's true with any rookie, and it would be true with any first rounder especially. But this guy in particular, this is not the same. This is not your typical rookie or your typical first rounder or your typical quarterback. And that embrace says a lot. Yes, acceptance, acceptance, acceptance. And it's how you build a team.
Building a team, and we're building another episode of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're looking forward to your phone calls when we come back. We will also hear from Brian Hoyer, the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, in his first big public comments after the draft. It'll be very interesting to hear what he had to say. We also want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. It's Nathan and Vic on CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.